All right, we're doing good? Come on, we're doing good? All right, good. Here we go. Will you stand with me? Let's read the word of the Lord. You can only handle two verses that you're not going to like, and then we're going to look at a chapter that you're going to hate. But let's dive in, because God said it to us, so we got to receive it. James chapter 1, verse 26. James chapter 1, verse 26. Here we go. You're going to read it slowly. We're going to take it by each section and then each phrase, and then we're going to go from there. So here we go. Everybody read with me, please. If anyone, stop right there. That means if anyone goes to church regularly and you think going to church regularly gives you some form of a merit, if anyone serves and think that means I'm good with God. If anyone gives and think that means I'm good with God. If anyone is in a small group and thinks that means I'm good with God, he's talking to you. So that means he's talking to everybody here at One Community Church. If anyone thinks himself to, because he goes to church, he is something special. Here we go. Continue. And yet does not, stop right there, and yet can't control your tongue. You can't control this little muscle, this most powerful muscle in your body. But he deceives his own heart. In other words, you think that because you go to church, because you give, because you in a small group, because you serve, that means you're gaining more and more favor with God. You're deceiving your own heart if you can control this muscle called the tongue. Then he says, this man's, he says that means it's absolutely worthless. If you can't control this, if when you go to work tomorrow, you can't control this, but you can praise God today, he says, keep your religion, it's worthless. He says, if you can fall out on your knees, fall out in the spirit, prostrate, all, yeah, Lord. He said, you can do all that, but you can't control your tongue. You can speak in tongues, but when it's time to shut up, you can't do it. He says, this person's religion is, come on, everybody, say it with a little bit. This man's religion is, you can't control this. Do me a favor. It's a motion we're going to do over and over again. Do this. There it is. This, everybody together. Come on. You got it. Y'all don't get it. Oh, just right here. Come on. That's it. Now, you never do that to somebody else, because I know that's what you're going to do. You dying to look at the person next to you and say, that's my sign from the, that's not what he said. Do it to yourself. Self? That's it. Here we go. Next verse, verse 27. Watch the text. The text says, here's what God considers pure religion, when you have a relationship with him. If you have the heart of God, this will be normal for you. Here we go. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this. What is it? Everybody read. To visit. Here we go. Stop right there. That has nothing to do with you. You helping somebody else who can't be helped. That's what it means, because now life's not all about you. You're not intoxicated with yourself. Life now becomes about somebody else. When you have a transformed heart, that's what happens. But here's the second part. And to keep my. Let me help you out. In our current political season that we're in, if you're a Democrat, you hate Republicans. If you're a Republican, you hate the Democrats. If you're an independent, you hate both of them. He says, if you know Jesus and you have pure and undefiled religion, you're going to keep oneself unstained by the world. If you love, you just can't wait to go watch the news and see how they're going to rip somebody apart again. You're saying you're immature. You're telling yourself that. But based on the scriptures alone, you're telling yourself that. He says you ought to be, keep oneself unstained by the world. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Father, guide our words now. Prepare our hearts now for what you're about to share with us. Thank you for the opportunity. Lead us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said, Look at your neighbor and say, this one's for you. Look at the other one and say, no. For real, it's for you. One more person you forgot. Look at yourself and say, self, this for me. Ladies and gentlemen, we have marriages today that have been ruined by the tongue. We've got kids today that have been ruined by parents who cannot control their tongue. We have best friend relationships that have been ruined, crushed, don't talk to each other anymore because one of the two or both could not control the tongue. We have kids living today that are living in fear and insecurity and shame and guilt because they had parents who couldn't control their tongue. Ladies and gentlemen, some of you are not at the job, not at your dream job because you couldn't control your tongue. Some of you, listen. Some of you will never achieve what God's calling you to do because you can't control your tongue. Some of you destroy people forever because you can't control, say with me, your tongue. Today I want to direct our attention to this very painful topic, yet it's one that I think we absolutely must address. I'm going to give you your application card early because I want you to process it. And everybody needs to take it. You probably need to go home and make some copies because you're going to need about 7 of them. 1 for the bathroom mirror, 1 for the kitchen counter, 1 on your steering wheel, 1 in your office, on your desk, 1 in the lunchroom by the water cooler, 1 on your forehead so you remember it. The card simply says this: wait, is there a need for this? Before you talk, before you text, the application of our talk today is this. Every time before you open your mouth, you should ask the question, wait, is there a need for this? Just say it with me, everybody. Wait, is there a... Turn the page over. Let's look at those two words, wait and the word need. For those of you over 35, you need to ask, why am I talking? Those of you under 35 need to ask, why am I texting? That's the question you need to ask. If you're trying to control your tongue, you need to ask this question. And then here's the 4 questions you ask before you say anything. Question 1, is it necessary? Is this what I'm about to say necessary? Question 2, does it edify? Question number 3, does it encourage? Is what I'm about to say, I know it's true, but is it encouraging? Because you know what you love to do, you love to say, but it's true, I can't stand him. It's true, I can't stand him. I know, but does it encourage? And then the last one is, does it dignify? Ask those questions with me, please, everybody. Is it, does it, and does it? Those are the questions. Unless you answer in the affirmative for all 4, then you shouldn't say what you're about to say. It's going to be a silent dinner table tonight. Everybody's silent today. And by the way, it should be way more silent than it currently is. Because half the stuff we're saying is not encouraging, does not edify. If you don't have one of these, just raise your hand up and one of our men will give you. But I need everybody to. By the way, do you know why we give you tools like this? You know why we gave you the switch last week? Because we're convinced that there's no division between sacred and secular. That if you're saved, then your entire life is a life of worship. You don't get to do it for an hour and a half and then go to your job and shut the worship off and now live your own life. You don't get to do that. So what we care about in our church is what you do with the other 167 hours in your week. I know what you do while you're here. You're on your best behavior. You acting like you're godly. You're wearing the nice clothes. You showed up. I want to know, and we want to equip you to handle the other 167 hours in your week. The reason we gave you a switch, yes, last week, because we want you to, with that switch on your desk, we want you to remember you were made for Monday. We want you, your friends and your coworkers ask, what's that switch for? And it's a great evangelistic tool now. The reason we're giving you this card is because we want you to disciple your whole office and tell them, hey, you know what? Have you ever thought about, let's wait before we talk. And so you need, I don't want you to be the preacher. I want you to be the counselor in your office. Don't go, everybody in the office, hey, come one, come all. Here we go. This is what we're doing from now on. If you don't answer the wait question, don't talk. No. That makes you a preacher. I don't want you to be a preacher. I want you to be a counselor. When somebody asks, why is it that people don't hang out around me anymore? Now you can tell them, well, here's something I used to be a guide for me. Maybe you want to try it. That's what you do. So that's why you have the tool, all right? Now, let me tell you the proof now of why you need to do this. I just want to give you up front first, then give you the proof. Here we go. We're going to walk through the book of James. But God sets this up so much that God gives us six things he hates. I want you to look at this. Six things he hates. Seven is an abomination. I want you to watch, because this was unique insight for me, and I had to confess my sins over and over again this week because this penetrated my heart. Watch it. He says, seven things I hate. Say them with me. Number one, haughty. Number two, lying. Number three, hands that shed. Number four, a heart that devises wicked. Number five, feet that are quick to run into. Number six, falls. Number seven, a person who... Now, here's what I want you to know. Four of the seven refers to your tongue. The things God hates, four of the seven refers to your tongue. Lying tongue. You're going to find out in a little while. A heart that devises wicked plans. False witness. The person who stirs up conflict in the community. Here's my question for you today. Are you on God's hate list? The way you conduct yourself at work, the way you talk to your spouse, the way you talk to your kids, the way you interact with people around you in your life group, in your ministry, with your kids' friends who play ball together, are you on God's hit list? Hate list. The list where he says, I hate. Now notice what's not on there. Tons of stuff we think are big sins, not on there. But your tongue is. And so God, why? Why? Why is this? Why is this? Why is this such a big deal? Because every last one of us have at least 30 conversations per day. 30 conversations per day. Ladies, you do, they tell me now, you do about 20,000 words per day. Men, you do about 7. So ladies, give us a break. We just don't like talking as much as you do. But here's what God realizes, because he created us this way, that one of the best tools to assess whether or not you're mature is how you use this thing. Because you do this more than anything else that you do. So if you ever want to know how godly you are, then look at how you use your tongue. Because you use it so very often. He tells you in James, he starts out in chapter 3, verse 1. He starts out and he says, hey, preachers, you, ministers of the gospel, you. I'm talking to you first. He says, let not many of you become teachers. Why? In other words, we should evaluate teachers by how they use their mouth. Before you say, yeah, I want to get licensed, I want to get ordained, we should actually look at how you use your mouth, how you text people, what you say on your Facebook page, because it's telling us a lot about you. It's describing your maturity or your immaturity. Because he says, don't run after it. Here's why. Knowing that as such, we will incur a stricter judgment. In other words, if you love to preach, the reason I didn't want to go into ministry, because I saw this verse and it terrified me. One judgment is enough. A stricter one? Y'all can keep that. That's why when people love to run into ministry, it gets me real nervous. Because you don't get this verse. That if you love to talk, you're going to be judged stricter because you have a high standard. Verse number two, it gets better. All we're doing is reading the Bible today. It's good too. Watch it. For James, look at what James does. James is going to admit his own failing. James is going to say, for we all stumble in many ways. Every one of us, which means James knows all of us got this problem. Every last one. He continues, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man or a mature man. He says, able to bridle the whole body as well. Here's what he says. If you want to know if somebody is mature, look at how they talk. But he gives us another insight in verse 2. He says, if you want to change anything about you, start by taming the tongue. So let's say you have an addiction in some area. Let's say you have another God that you have raised up in your life. He says, don't worry about that one yet. If you want to fix that one, train your own tongue. Why does he say that, Pastor? He says that because he knows we talk so often that if you do this one well, then everything else is downhill from here. If you can control your tongue, then from here on out, everything else is that much easier because you talk so much. That's what he says. He says, assess somebody's maturity by how they talk. And then if you want to get help to control your whole body, start with the tongue. Verse number 3. Oh, it gets good. It gets real good. He says, now. He says, if we put bits into the horse's mouth, a horse weighs about between 2,000 and 3,000 pounds, so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. The jockey weighs about 90 pounds, the horse 3,000. And all the jockey has to do is control that bit, which is right under the tongue, and he can direct that horse wherever he wants him to go. Here's what he's saying to you and me. He says, your tongue will direct where you're going in your life. He says, just your ability to use. Okay, you're not feeling me. Do you realize that some of you, the reason you're not where you want to be is because you're so negative. Every conversation you got. Hey, yeah, isn't that a great day outside? Wow, it's beautiful. The sun's shining bright. You, well, it could have been brighter. Really? Seriously? Everybody's having a great conversation, and you just come in and boom, all the air goes out of the room. Some of you talk, the second thing some of you do is you talk so much about yourself. Every conversation comes back to you. Everything. Everything. Somebody talking about, yeah, did you see what happened in Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan? Did you see? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm not them. I'm good. Did you see my new car outside? Anybody need know? We're having a serious conversation. You find somehow for this conversation to be about you. Now, here's what happens when you do that. Whenever you walk into a situation and you either go negative or you make it about you, then over time, people don't want to talk to you. So now, the people who are in the boardroom making the decisions about your life say, you don't even know how to have a conversation. So you can't go nowhere else. You stuck at the desk you stuck at because your tongue has gone before you. It directs your entire life. You are where you are today because of this thing right here called, say with me, the tongue. Next verse, verse 4. Watch the text. It directs the horse. Now, number 2 is going to talk about ships. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, what's the word again? Are still, say with me, directed. See what I'm saying? The tongue. It directs where you're going by a very small rudder. The rudder, the larger ships are about, you know, three. This is a large ship, about three acres, and the rudder is about the weight of about 10 cars. And yet still, this little rudder, in comparison to the massive ship, it directs where the ship goes. In the same way, your tongue directs it. Let me show you what I mean. Have you ever been in an elevator before? And you're, let's say you're on the 50th floor, and you're coming down, and then you stop on the 4th or 5th floor, and y'all having it before, y'all in there, having a great conversation. And then a smoker comes in. Now, oftentimes, the smoker don't even know that they smell like smoke. Even when you try to hide it, it still smells like, say it with me, I smell. So you walk into the room, and all we're having a great conversation, and a whole hush. And then people hold their breath. The next 4 to 5 floors. And then they come out first, and everybody exhales together. Listen. I wonder if that's what happens to you when your coworkers are around and you walk into the room and everybody says, don't say nothing unless you want it to go to everybody else in the office. Shh, don't say nothing because they can't hold water. I wonder if that's how they see you when you show up in the room. Here's what it's doing. It's directing your life, and you don't even know it. Let's go to verse 5. Here's what he says then. He says, so also is the tongue a small part of the body, and yet it, here's the word, boasts of great things. You ever notice that? People walk around. Look at me. This is what I did. You talking about something that, here's what I did. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all about me. Now, you got to realize the tongue is not the real problem. You do know that, don't you? The tongue ain't the real problem. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Go to Matthew chapter 12. And let's go to round about verse number 34. What's the text now? Show you the real problem. Read it with me, please. It starts out a little harsh, but it gets a little better. Here we go. You brood of vipers. Church people, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? Here we go. Here's the indication. Say it with me. For the mouth speaks out of that which fills. Here's what he says. He says the bucket represents your tongue. But really, it's only a reflection of your heart, the well. So what the tongue does is it only gets whatever is in the well, and it brings it out, and it starts saying whatever is in the well. He says, so if you want to know why somebody is as cray-cray as they are, you got to look at their heart, not their tongue. So if you want to evaluate somebody, don't just look at what they're saying. They're simply spewing out what's in their hearts. It's the reason why. Go to your notes now. It's the reason why when you look at your notes, you can tell that the problem with the tongue is a problem of the heart. So don't look at the heart. When you hear somebody talk, you can tell what's in their heart. So if they're harsh, if they have a harsh tongue, it's because they have an angry heart. Watch the text now. If they have a negative tongue, it's because they have a fearful heart. If they have an overactive, they just, it's because they have an unsettled heart. If they have a boasting tongue, it's because they have an insecure heart. If they have a filthy tongue, they're in the cussing ministry of the church. By the way, if you're in the cussing ministry of the church, let me just wave your hand real. No, quit tripping. Some of y'all still cuss. We confessing our sins today. If you're in the cussing ministry, just wave your hand and say, I still need a little work, Jesus. I'm for real. You're in the cussing ministry. Spouses, just highlight them for me. You're in the cussing ministry. I need a little help, Pastor. I need a little help in this area. If you're in the cussing ministry, it means you have an impure heart. And then if you're in the critical, if you have a critical tongue, then you have a bitter heart. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, the reason I'm going to talk only about two of these, that's all I have time for today. But as they're speaking, you can tell what's in their hearts. Because that's what a problem is. So let me illustrate it for you. This is why you can't just do what you see the world doing. Because if somebody don't know God, that's one thing. But if somebody knows God, they should know better. None of you are going to agree with the point I'm about to make, but I'm going to make it. The reason the media is critical is because they have a bitter heart. Pastor Bronson just came back from Turkey. Scoot up. You're not going to like it. He just came back from Turkey. He goes to the White House and he prays for the president. And he says, "President, thank you so much for helping me get free after 2 years of imprisonment." Listen now. And you're going to find something negative to say about that? Really? Let's say the man did one thing good for 2 years. You can't tell the man, "Thank you for helping a fellow pastor get out of prison." Here's why you can't do it. Because you got a bitter heart. And he says, "Not so with you." The rest of the world can do that. Not you, Christian. Not you. Your brother just got out. At least tell the man thank you for doing one thing good if he only did one thing good according to you. What's wrong with us? We just do what the rest of the world does? Not so with you. You're different, man. Come on. You got a transformed heart in here. Don't just hate for hate's sake. You're different. You're revealing your, say it with me, heart. It's what you're revealing. And you got a transformed one where God saved you from some stupidness. So don't show your critical tongue and reveal the bitterness of your heart. Let me go to two since none of y'all don't like that one. Let's go to number two. You have a boasting tongue because you have an insecure heart. Whenever you see somebody walking around telling how good they are and what they did and look at me, they're just revealing how insecure they are, that they need your affirmation because God's not good enough. So they're revealing to you that, "God, I am not secure in who you have created me to be. I'm not secure in who you have called me to be. So I need humans to tell me and affirm me of how good I am because I am really not convinced that I have all I need in you. And in light of that, God, I'm going to boast because somebody need to tell everybody how good I am. So I'm going to do it since nobody else will." And all it's showing is that you have an insecure heart. It's revealing who you are. That's why I love to ask leaders questions when I'm interviewing them, because they don't even know it. But the more they speak, the more they're revealing their heart. It's a great interviewing tactic. Just ask them questions to see if they'll go negative, fearful heart. Ask them questions to see if they'll go harsh, angry heart. Ask them questions. Don't ask them no questions. Just let them talk. Unsettled heart. So here's the question, though. Circle the two or three that you're struggling with right now. Let's take it out of the realm of out here, and let's bring it closer to our heart. No, everybody, circle it. And then show your neighbor which one you circled. Oh, you don't like that, do you? See? You just like when it's out here, but when you bring it closer, you don't like. Circle yours and show your neighbor. Praise God. And if you circle all of them, just put one big circle and say, "I struggle with all of them." And then show your neighbor and say, work in progress. No, for real. If you haven't seen your neighbors, let me see your hand. If you haven't seen your neighbors, let me see. Show them, reveal it. Confess your sins one to the other so you may be healed. I'm starting something right now. I'm starting it. Somebody says, no, I have another one you should circle. I got another one. A spouse is saying, "You need to circle that one right there, that one right there, that one right there." Ladies and gentlemen, from the tongue, it only speaks what's in the heart. Circle yours, that's what you got to work on. Let's turn the page over. Come on, let's keep going. Here's what he says, number five. "Why must I watch what I say?" There are three reasons he gives us. Because it directs where I go, it destroys what I have, and it displays who I am. What we have today is verbal arsonists who simply set a fire on people's lives and walk away. You ever see those people? They can't wait to hear drama. They say something like, hey, did you hear? And you. What is it? What is it? What? No, no. You know what? No, the Lord's saying I need to keep this drama. Oh, no, no, no. No, no, no. Tell me. Tell me, please. Tell me. Because you love juicy stuff. By the way, if you love housewife anything, preach, Pastor. Preach. If you love anything but God's empire, you got a problem. You see, some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Don't worry about it. You're blessed and highly favored. But anything except God's empire, you love drama. Let me show you. Let me give you some signs that you struggle with gossip. Let's talk about gossip real quick and let's keep going. Let's talk about gossip. If all the people around you love drama, it means you love gossip. If all the people around you love drama, which is why I love to look at somebody's Facebook friends, because if everybody around you loves sus and drama, that means you in the middle of it all. I mean, you got some drama about you too. Preach, Pastor, tell it. Leave your neighbor alone. Leave your neighbor alone. This is your turn. This is not for them. This is for you. Let the Holy Spirit do what it's doing. Number two. If you can't wait to tell a secret, you love to gossip. You just can't wait. Somebody tell you, and as they're telling you, you're texting it. What's wrong with you? Something's wrong with you. Go get help. Sit on somebody's couch. Here's a good one. If people stop sharing stuff with you. Let me put it another way. If you're the one where somebody knows it can get to the whole office, if they tell you, you love drama. But here's the problem. You don't even know that they're using you to tell everybody else. Because you're such drama that if they tell you, everybody going to know. Jesus, help us, Lord. Just love juice. Here's another one. If people come to you with juicy stuff, just juicy. You love drama. There's some television shows that tell that you have an insatiable desire for drama. You just, if you love this show, you love drama. If you love all the entertainment shows, what did the Kardashians do this week? You love drama. You be like, no, Pastor, I'm just, it's just entertainment. It don't bother me at all. It's just entertainment. If you love all them reality shows where the more drama there is, the better it is that you texting your friends and all y'all watching it at the same time. Let's move on. That's way too convicting. Let's move on. Let's go to the text. Let's read verse 4. Let's go back to the text. Let's read verse 4. Watch what the text says. No, let's go to verse 5, actually. Start with verse 5. Here we go. Verse 5 says, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. Somebody just calls you and say, I can't stand you. I'm going to do something bad because of you. That sets now the whole course of that person's life on fire. Why would you ever do that? Because you have a heart that wants to hurt somebody. That's why you do it. Next verse. It says, and the tongue is a fire. Oh, hold on. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life. Here we go. Where is all of this coming from? It's coming from hell. In other words, when you decide to tear somebody else down, that's coming from the enemy himself because he wants to destroy anything good that God has created. So whenever you think it's just words and I'm just going to get back at you, you're being a tool of the enemy, and you don't even know it. There are too many of us, man, that just let it rip. And we think, well, it's the truth. Somebody need to say it. No. The two issues you're struggling with your tongue is, when am I supposed to stay silent and not say anything? And then if I have to speak, how do I become extraordinarily sensitive with what I'm about to say? And you're sensitive when you're putting their agenda over yours, and you're trying to tee it up so much that it's most palatable for the person you're talking to. Those are the two tensions that we live in. Next verse, verse number seven says this. It says, every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, it is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. Everything. We can tame. You can say, elephant, don't move. Stay right there. And the elephant stays. Some knuckleheads, they say, the lion open his mouth, and they put their head in. I ain't doing that, but I've seen people. Put their head in the lion's mouth. God bless you. Anyways, we can tame it all. Next verse. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. It's more than just words, ladies and gentlemen. It's way more than that. And the reason why this is so important for you at work is because of verse number 9. Watch it out. Verse 9 says, with it we bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And with it we cuss men out. Here's what he says. Here's the part, don't miss this, who have been made in the likeness of God. What? So I can come to church and I can bless the Lord, oh my soul. And at the same time, we can walk right, actually, we don't even have to walk out the door. We can text them right in there. I can't stand you. This is why I hate your guts. I wish you was never alive. What? How can you say that? How can you bless God and cuss your spouse out? God says, not so with you. Oh, okay, you're not feeling me. Whenever you go to a wedding, everybody is looking toward the bride. And then so when the pastor says, all rise, and the reason we rise is because she is so beautiful as she comes down in her white, everybody's like, oh, don't she look so beautiful? Oh, my God. She has readied herself her whole life for this very moment, and now this is her walk of life. Now, nobody would ever think that with this woman walking down the aisle, nobody in their right mind would ever think that in all this beauty, you should destroy it with this red dye. Nobody would. They would say, you're ridiculous, you're crazy, you've lost your good mind. So if somebody walked up and did this, Oh, yeah. You deserve it. I didn't like you ever. God bless you. I hate your guts. That's not enough. They said, no, that ain't enough. I can't stand anything about you. God bless you. And they're using God in the middle of it, by the way. God bless you. I can't stand you. You'd be like, how are you going to get it off? Now, here's the problem. The problem is, many of you care about this dress more than you care about your spouse. Because when I was about to do it, he did this. Now, that ought to be the same response you give when somebody is beginning to talk to somebody crazy. You're supposed to... Here's why. Because don't you know that the fellow believer houses the spirit of the living God? Whoa. You remember back in the day when the temple, you couldn't even get too close to it. It was where the Holy of Holies was. You couldn't get close to it. Today, your brother and sister in Christ, listen, they're housing the spirit of the living God, and you don't care one rip. Because the Bible says, what you do to them, you're doing to God. Here's why. Who have been made in the likeness of God. They now house the Holy Spirit, but yet still you think you can let it rip from your mouth and treat the person like they're the scum of the earth. All because of how wicked your heart is and because you have demeaned the person. And today you care more about a doggone wedding dress that costs $30 than somebody that housed the spirit of the living God. Preach, Pastor. Tell him! If the person is not a Christian, they were created in the image of God. Therefore, you don't have a right to speak to them like that. You don't. So the text said, you don't. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. On your job, be careful. In your marriage, be careful. With your kids, be careful. With your in-laws, be careful. With your ex, be careful. With your ex-ex-ex, be careful. With whoever, be careful. They house the spirit of the living God. With the person you can't stand, be careful. The text is saying, look at it. Next verse, verse 10, says this. From the same mouth comes both blessing and cursing. Here he goes. What's the strong admonition? My brethren, my brothers, he says, my brothers, come on. These things ought not to be this way. You're not supposed to live like that. And when another brother see you doing that, they're supposed to rebuke you. You don't talk to people like that. They're supposed to charge you up. You don't do that. You're talking against the spirit of the living God. Verse 11, it continues. He says, does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? The answer is no. Next verse. He says, can a fig tree, my brothers, listen, he's pleading with you. My brothers, can a fig tree produce olives? Obvious answer, no. Or a vine produce figs? Obvious answer, say it with me, no. Nor can salt water produce fresh? Say it with me, no. Can another Christian chew out, cuss out another Christian? Say it with me, no. Not so with you. I don't care what you see on the television. I don't care what you see on your TV shows. Not so with you. You don't get to do that. And if you're doing it, it means you need to change your heart from the inside out. So then what do we do with our tongue? That's the question. What do we do with it? Here it tells you, for the right uses of the tongue. For wise counsel and sound advice, Ephesians 4:25. For Galatians 6:2, speak the truth to one another in love. For rebuke, we don't like to do this, but when you're rebuking, don't rebuke with your feelings, rebuke with the word of God. Here's what it says, 1 Timothy 5:20, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 25, Luke chapter 7, verse 3, for encouragement. The next one, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Hebrews 10, 12, Proverbs 12, 25. That's what he says. And use it for encouraging, lifting them up. No word should proceed out of your mouth, but that which is encouraging. Listening to others, and by the way, listening is different from waiting to talk. That was for somebody in this section right here. Listening is you're listening and you're hearing them, what they have to say, and you are rehashing what they just said, but not just what they said, but the heart from which it's coming from. That's listening. Waiting to talk means as they're talking, you're trying to disprove everything they say. So the moment they stop, you can slice up everything they say. He says, be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. And then be slow to anger. Say that with me, everybody. Be quick to Be slow to, and then be slow to. That's what he says. That's the right uses of the tongue. We have to have life groups that are in love, rebuking each other with the word of God. When they tee it up and say, hey, did you hear? You say, stop. No. I don't have the right to know that. If I can't fix it, don't tell me. That's the issue. If I can't fix it, don't tell me. People come up to Jada or me all the time and say, did your wife tell you? No, she didn't tell me. She went up to Jada. Hey, did you? No. Here's why. Because I don't want, if I'm frustrated with somebody today, I don't want to tell Jada because tomorrow I'm going to be fine. And then I'm going to forget to tell Jada the rest of the story. So I didn't get to clean it up. So therefore, it's linger with her. So it stays with me. It's none of her business anyways. I don't want to taint her and her view of you. I got to deal with my own heart and make sure my heart is pure. Which is why sometimes she said, no, I don't need to know that. Which is why if I'm rehashing something in my mind and I'm sharing it with her and she says, you're wrong. By the way, if you don't have a spouse that can look at you and say, you need to go confess that sin and go back to that person and say you're sorry. I pity you. If all your spouse do is tell you, oh, you're great, you're wonderful, I am sorry for you because they're not truly loving you. Because the reason God put them in your life is so that you can look more like him. And if everything they do is tell you how great you are, they ain't telling you the real story because you ain't that good. In the name of Jesus. So, these four, here we go. Turn the page over. Let's conclude. Come on, we're done. Let's go. How do I tame it? Memorize James 1:9. Ask your community to hold you accountable, not once a week, daily. Did you say anything from your mouth today that did not fit the weight? Is it necessary model? Yield your tongue to God. Think before you speak. Here we go. Fill your well with truth. What you must do is fill this with truth so much so that the only thing you got to say in a situation is the word of God. The only thing that comes out of you is what the word says. What we ought to do is encourage each other with the word of God, rebuke each other with the word of God, not with how we feel in the moment. We're a community of believers. We're not like the rest of the world, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. So what does it mean to have a good heart? How do we start there? How do we get our well right? He tells us, if you want to have when the tongue is encouraging, that means you have a happy heart. When the tongue is gentle, that means you have a loving heart. When the tongue is truthful, that means you have an honest heart. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 tells us, hey man, that old stuff is gone. Come on. He's given you a new heart. Anyone being grafted in a new creature? The old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. A new heart has showed up. Here's what God did to you. He put you on the operating table. He cut you down the middle. He took out your stone cold heart when you got saved and replaced it with a heart of flesh, then sewed you back up, put you together, and sent you on your way. It's the reason why when somebody who hates you, hate on you, and tell slander you, you can still speak well of them. The reason you can do that is because you got a new heart. It's proof that you love Jesus. The reason when somebody tells all manner of lies against you, you don't try to defend yourself. But instead you show up and you says, they meant it for evil, but God is going to work this out some way. The reason why when your coworkers talk badly about you and they do all manner of stuff against you, the reason why you can still show them love and you can still support them is because God says, love your enemies. That don't come from just controlling your tongue. That comes from a new heart. That comes from a heart that's been dripping with the word of God. That's what we're after, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. Not what the world does. What God desires of you. Father, in light of that, can you help us apply this truth to all our lives? God, help us to wait and ask the question, is there really a need for this? God, help us to ask, is it necessary before we open our mouth? Help us ask, does it edify, does it encourage, and does it dignify? The reason we need to ask this, God, is because we want our hearts to be so immersed in the word of God that the only thing we speak is your word. raise up a generation of men and women, brothers and sisters, who live not according to the flesh, but according to the word of God. Raise us up, God. We need it. This culture has never needed men and women who control their tongues and control their fingers like never before. We need it now, which is why you have allowed us to be born and to live in this generation. I pray you will raise up men and women as we launch them back into their work weeks this week, that will go in there and love their enemies, that will go in there and speak truth, even though they're speaking hate toward us. Help us, God, to be a standard of righteousness in the middle of a cesspool of filth. Raise us up. When it goes in the water cooler in the break room and they're talking smack, help us, every last one of us, to either exit the room, say nothing, or change the conversation. Will you teach us to do so graciously? Lovingly. Here's why, God. Because when you could have said anything on the cross, anything, you were innocent. You decided to say nothing. When you could have spoken any word and take out a whole army, you decided to stay quiet. And when you did speak, you spoke forgiveness over the world. Not vengeance. Forgiveness. Help us to model our Savior. And when they try to kill us, help us to render forgiveness, for they know not what they do. Raise up a generation of believers that love you so much, we will deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily, and follow you. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for the season we live in. Thanks for the marching orders. We eagerly now go into our offices, go into our ball fields, go into our computers, and we will say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, come on, put your hands together for God.